Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into Behind Enemy Lines, a collaboration between the Pack-A-Day Podcast with Andy Herman and the Paul Farrington Show. Paul, joined by Robert Ziggy Ziegler up at Harvard University and Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, as we mentioned before, for a week 8 reaction to the Packers, the Vikings, the broader NFC North. It's a reaction show that, fortunately for Ziggy and I, the game was Thursday, the Viking game, which we don't, you know, we don't need to think about too much. Andy will definitely bring it up, but we've had some time to heal from what was certainly, I would say, one of the most lopsided Vikings games I've ever seen, and there have been quite a few. But the reaction, I don't know if, how plugged into Vikings Twitter and Vikings social media you are, Andy, but just from most Vikings people, the guys were tweeting out like, yeah, I've been a fan for a long time and I haven't shut the TV off in a long time. But this one, forget about like the stakes, right? Playoff games, we have our own misery. That was just one of the worst football games I've ever seen the Minnesota Vikings play, which was just terrible.
Well, since the rest of this show is going to be mostly a crap fest for you two, let me start off with a couple really important things. Number one, and just some credit where credit's due. If this were reversed and the Packers were having this season and the Vikings were looking really, really great, I think I might've come to, you know what, this behind enemy lines thing, I'm not sure it's working out so great. Like maybe we can revisit it next year. It's not what I was kind of expecting. So credit to you guys, sticking with it, even during some tough times. The other thing, you guys have found a cheat code and it's not fair. All right. So when the Packers lose, everything is worse. The Packers lost. That sucks for me. Plus, everyone wants to tune out for the Packers for that week until their next game. And everything is just like the numbers are down. You know, as many people watching is down. And if the Vikings win or lose, it doesn't affect anything on the channel whatsoever. So you guys are irrelevant to what mostly happens overall. Maybe it's a playoff game and the Vikings lose. Like if it's the Favre interception or something, maybe things could spike on something like that. But for the most part, it doesn't matter. You guys have figured out a way that when the Vikings lose, your numbers jump and spike. And like everyone wants to share your misery with you. And when the Packers win, your numbers spike and everyone wants to rub it in your faces. So there's probably a piece of that that is living a half life, but you have figured out a cheat code to somehow find a way that even when you suffer a loss, you at least get a win out of it in some capacity. Whereas with most people, myself included, a loss is just a loss all the way along. So my credit to both of you for figuring out somehow the formula to cheat what is supposed to happen in those situations.
Well, long ago, when Paul and I were thinking about starting this channel, we thought, what would be a reliable way to drive success? And we realized very quickly, counting on the Minnesota Vikings to do well, to build a fan base, was just a bad idea. Like the Vikings, Paul's been saying this, we have not had two good years in a row besides like 2009 and basically our whole lifetimes. Whereas the Green Bay Packers, every time you look, things are going okay. So we had to adjust how we marketed our channel and how we're going to build ourselves in light of that. Because we went all in on the Vikings being good. Be game over.
Yeah.
You shorted your fandom, which is smart. It's like the big short. You shorted the Minnesota Vikings and found a way to pull off the perfect caper. I give you both a ton of credit.
We have been lucky too, because I'd say 2023, right, when Love broke out, was when the show started to really pick up some momentum. And that year, the Vikings were out of it. That was when Kirk Cousins went down. So even with, you know, not that I'm sitting here cheering for the Packers, but like the channel's doing well and the Packers are winning, it takes a little bit of the sting out of it.
Of course.
And with, you know, with the Vikings being out of it that year, it was like, all right, whatever. Like as long as the Packers don't win the Super Bowl, like it was cool seeing that ride of our show growing. Then 2024, you know, Vikings are 14-3, and we managed to keep enough distance from you guys during the year that it was like it never really, there was never, even the Viking game that we had with you guys in Minnesota towards the end of the year, it never really felt like, okay, this is like do or die. The Vikings have to win this football game. And now this year we stink again and you guys are awesome. So I'm waiting for that one year where it's like, you know, week 17 must. I mean, I will obviously choose the Vikings, but I've never had a moment where I've had to really put the show like on the line. And I'm waiting for that. We've been lucky in that regard, but it hasn't happened yet. So that's one spot. And Ziggy, yeah, you're right. 2008, 2009, I think was our last back-to-back playoffs. And that was like the Tavares Jackson-led Vikings of 2008. So we weren't going anywhere that season anyway. But yeah, thank you, Andy, for acknowledging us monetizing our misery.
You're very welcome. Well, so I'll let you guys decide, because I think it's only fair. What's the easier thing for you guys right now? Talking about how great the Packers are or how bad and inept the Minnesota Vikings have been. We can start in any direction you guys want.
Let's start with the Packers. I'm so over the you know, up and down roller coaster this Viking season, which has been mostly down, but other than that great fourth quarter. But the Packers, on Sunday night, how are you feeling at halftime, Andy? Because I tuned in briefly to your Twitter, Luigi's Pizza halftime show. I was like, you know, I was watching your tweets come in. I was like, he's got to be pissed off. Like, at least me, right? I was tuning in to see you explode on the Packers at halftime. And I thought you kept a level head, so kudos to you. But how are you feeling at halftime? And then what was your reaction as Green Bay really got it going in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, so first of all, the halftime is about as worked up as I get. I'm usually pretty, at least in regular season, I'm pretty even keeled. And then, you know, playoffs, that can be a totally different story. But yeah, it's certainly a brutal first half for Green Bay.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because fandom's a bizarre thing. If it would have been flipped and they would have played awesome in the first half and then sucked in the second half, but still found a way to win 35-25. Everyone's talking about Green Bay can't close the game, or, you know, it's like they took their foot off the gas and just another disappointing second half performance or whatever. Like, that's what gets talked about. That's what was the most recent thing. But if you suck in the first half, but then dominate the second half and win by 10, it's like all is forgotten. Nobody cares. And the truth is that first half still matters. If you go into the playoffs or against a really good team and you go down by 9 points at halftime and only put up 7, that's going to get you beat at some point. So I thought in the first half, really in all phases, Keyshawn Nixon was getting brutalized at corner in the defensive backfield. It was probably the worst run defensive performance in any half so far this year that Green Bay had. Yep. I thought on offense, you saw a lot of drops on offense, which stalled out some drives. The run offense could not do anything whatsoever. And then special teams had a penalty, missed 2 field goals, muffed a punt. I mean, just everything went wrong. So it really went sour in pretty much every single phase in the first half. And then the exact opposite happened in the second half, and everything clicked and they played complimentary football. And it kind of gave you proof of concept again of when this team wants to be good and decides that they're going to do everything in their power to play awesome, the other team doesn't stand much of a chance and they just look unstoppable. So you just would like to see that over a 4-quarter period of time. They still have their warts, including, you know, some of the defensive backfield, Keyshawn Nixon and Nate Hobbs didn't play much in this game, but still some questions at corner. The run game is still a major question mark for this team. And I think special teams remains a major issue as well. So those are the three warts that they got to get figured out. But other than that, you're certainly always happy to go into Pittsburgh, get a 10-point win. And especially in an emotional game like that, where it felt like there was a lot at stake. Awesome second half. And you certainly take the result at the end.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see where Green Bay goes from this with respect to that second half, because I know you were talking about the cornerback situation. One thing we wanted to ask you about, I thought overall, like, DK Metcalf is a difficult assignment to draw, but I thought Carrington Valentine overall played very good football.
Yep.
I mean, nobody's going to forget taking the ball out of DK Metcalf's hands in a jump ball. That does not happen very often, especially when you're outsized. DK Metcalf is the inside to be able to go up there and get that. So I wonder, you know, there's been a Nate Hobbs question around the Packers for a while now. Do you think Valentine could be their answer starting in future weeks?
Yeah, I was surprised to see them just like flat out bench Nate Hobbs. They gave him a lot of like votes of confidence from both Jeff Hafley and Matt LaFleur over the course of the week. I thought at minimum, I thought there would maybe be like a rotation between Hobbs and Valentine, and they're just like, nope, Valentine's the guy, and we're going with him, and I thought he played a lot better. It's interesting that some of the best defensive performances this year have been with Valentine at corner and not Nate Hobbs, and Nate Hobbs has kind of been a weak point when he's been in there, so I do expect that moving forward. I would expect at some point Hobbs gets some sort of assignment, some rotational pull, whatever, to get just him ingrained in the game a little bit, because they paid him a bunch of money and think they would like to see him out there. I think he can play better than he's played so far, but really difficult to pull Carrington off the field after he played this game and based on what we've seen from Nate Hobbs so far.
I was saying to Ziggy, even in our post-game reaction, Valentine had a couple of penalties as well, and he was playing really physical. But what I said to Ziggy was, I think that's actually kind of, even though you don't want to have a ton of penalties, it was just nice to see someone out there, you know, like playing his ass off, basically. And if it winds up, you know, that he continues to have defensive holdings or just, you know, pass interference, that's not good. But I just thought it was kind of a spark for a Packers secondary that has had some lackadaisical moments this season to see him just battling.
I was talking about this with Paul Bredel, a show that'll also air on Wednesday for us on Packaday. And there's just something endearing about Carrington Valentine where it's like, even when he gives up the touchdown in this game, it like he battled until the end and like knocked it away. And it was just like, he got the third step down. It's just like, he's fighting out there. And he's like, he's got the energy and the intensity and he just plays the game the right way. And it's everyone loves Carrington Valentine. And it's again, even when it maybe isn't a perfect performance, you can see him giving everything he's got to try to make it a winning situation. And it just doesn't always feel that way. He's got the perfect demeanor for corner. He's super cocky. It doesn't matter if he's going against prime Randy Moss or some practice squad scrub wide receiver. Like, he wants to beat the guy across from him. He feels like he's better than the guy across from him. And he just battles on every single play. So there's some ups and downs with Carrington for sure. He's not a perfect corner, but I know he's captured the hearts of, I think, most Packers fans. And I don't really know of anybody that I know that doesn't want him out there starting for Green Bay.
That's the kind of play too, though. The Roman Wilson touchdown where he got the third step in. It's like that could very easily in a big game wind up. How many times have we seen catches be, you know, at the very last second, ball hits the ground or someone's battling to the last second and you're able to save 6 points? Like, those are the kind of plays that win games. And that was just something that caught my eye, even though it was stayed a touchdown on the field. Another thing we wanted to ask you about, and this one is a little more opinionated. Jordan Love was just amazing in this game. And he's really been great all season, but 360 yards, 3 touchdowns. We've mentioned on this show several times now, every time you've needed a big drive, he's come up with a big drive. And, you know, I actually thought coming out of the second half, you guys get the stop. And there was the offsides penalty, right, in the beginning of the second half that kind of like set the momentum almost for the rest of the half for Green Bay. But you get the ball back and you're down 9 and you guys go on 9-play, 90-yard touchdown drive. And that just started the avalanche of Green Bay in Pittsburgh. Do you think that level Jordan Love, because that level was the MVP Jordan Love, Super Bowl caliber Jordan Love, is it a fair expectation to think that we can see that continue this second half of the season? Maybe not quite that peak, but up there with like, all right, this guy can be a league MVP, Super Bowl winner.
I do. I really do. Again, and to you spelled it out perfectly where, again, I don't expect it to be that good every single game. There's going to be some hiccups along the way. Defenses are going to defend him better. I don't think Pittsburgh's defense is all that great. I think that certainly helped out a little bit in this one. But do I think that he has the ability to play at that level with consistency? Absolutely. I think the big thing is you would love to see this Packers run game be going to take almost a little bit more pressure off of him. Yeah. But as you mentioned, and as we've talked about, when they've needed it, he's come up clutch every single time. I actually think Matt needs to do probably a better job of even letting Jordan cook a little bit more and putting the ball in his hands a little bit more, especially with the way the running attack is. I was looking it up today in the last 14 regular season games, Jordan's thrown 2 interceptions. Like, so this idea that he's this gunslinger or like he throws a lot of picks or anything like that just isn't really a true story. Even if you want to go 17 regular season games, it's 5, you know, so he's thrown 5 interceptions over the last season's worth of games. His high-end playmaking ability is consistently on display. He's added a running element. He didn't do it in this game, but he's added a running element to his game as well when needed. He avoids sacks as one of the better sack avoiders in the entire NFL. I just think, and now you're getting Christian Watson back.
And he looked good too.
Yes, he did. Dontayvion Wicks is going to come back soon. You would think pretty soon. Jaden Reed's going to come back at some point. Tucker Kraft is playing out of his mind. Yeah, I think he absolutely has the ability to play at this level for the remainder of the season.
I have I have no idea how you're going to find spots for all of these wide receivers. I mean, I thought Christian Watson coming this game, coming off injury, okay, maybe he'll get a catch or two. He'll see the field a little bit. Four catches, 85 yards. As you said, there's Reed, there's Wicks. Tucker Kraft is deserving of the ball a whole bunch more. Matthew Golden has yet to break out. Like,
dude, I totally forgot about Matthew Golden until you said his name. I completely forgot he existed. I don't know how.
Apparently, so did the Packers on offense this past week. He had three catches for 4 yards. So that was a big question. It's very funny in Green Bay, and to Ziggy's point, where every single week there's a question about a player who didn't get targets, and it's like a different player. Why didn't Tucker Kraft get 5 targets in this game? And then it's why didn't Matthew Golden get 5 targets in this game? And this next week, it's like, well, now it's going to be, why didn't Christian Watson? Why didn't Jaden Reed? Why didn't Dontayvion Wicks? It's like every single week, it's just a different player. And then if all of them get targets, it's like, well, why didn't Josh Jacobs touch the ball more? It's a good problem to have, but it just keeps coming up every single week.
There's so many mouths to feed there. You guys have an embarrassment of riches, honestly. That's what it comes down to. Like most teams, when Addison's out, I'm watching the Vikings. I'm like, man, we could really use some help outside of Jefferson. And for you guys, that's one of the great advantages the Packers have. And actually, it's fortunate because you guys have had so many injuries at the receiver position over the past couple of years that the depth is really proving not just to be an asset, but almost a necessity to help you guys survive all the injuries you've had. Here's one that I did not expect to have a conversation about. If you had set me back a couple weeks and said, this is what we'd be talking about following Steelers Packers. Is there any part of you that maybe wants or expects there to be a kicking controversy in Green Bay?
It's an interesting question. Kicking is fickle. Whereas if like somebody starts to struggle and you usually don't have two kickers on your team. So this isn't usually like a thing that like happens, but if you have a kicker that starts to struggle and you have the ability to get somebody that maybe is either on a hot streak or like looks really good, like sometimes that's really enticing, man. Lucas Aversick, in his one real season as a kicker, struggled, especially from 45 plus, and he didn't kick all last year. Now he comes in for 2 games, kicks really well in those 2 games. I think all of them except the one long one was 45 or under, and he makes one 61-yard bomb. And of course, I think he's out 8 of 8 in those 2 weeks for Green Bay, and everyone's in love. It just feels like that Cinderella slipper probably falls off Lucas Aversick pretty quick, and it probably doesn't continue that way. And if it's me, I'm staying with Brandon McManus. He's the kicker. You finally found your guy. He's a consistent veteran, knows how to kick. I know he missed 2 this week, 1 short, 1 wide. And the wide one can't happen when it's from like 44 or whatever it was. But I still have a lot more faith overall long-term in Brandon McManus. Now, will they keep McManus and cut Haversick, and Haversick will get claimed by the Giants and he'll go 1,000 of his next 1,000? Yes, 1,000,000%. That's absolutely going to happen. But I still would probably lean towards the veteran, and I honestly wouldn't mess with it too much.
It's like the Daniel Carlson story with when he missed 3 against you guys and we cut him, and next thing you know, he's one of the best kickers in the league for year over year in Vegas. Yeah.
Robbie Gould for Chicago too goes through a rough stretch and then goes to San Fran and just doesn't miss a thing for like years. Yeah. So you have to be really careful with that stuff, because like you finally think you found your consistent kicker, and he hasn't maybe been quite as consistent as you wanted so far this year. And he's been a little bit banged up, but I just don't think you want to mess with it too much.
I will say though, I do think McManus set the expectations maybe a little bit higher than Packers fans should expect. This guy had been in the league for 10 years before he went to Green Bay and hit about somewhere between like usually 77 to 83% of his kicks. Comes to Green Bay, goes 20 for 21 his first year. Regression to the mean suggests you should expect this guy to miss 1 of every 5 kicks he takes for you, even after last year.
Love Ziggy.
Missed one in the playoffs too.
Yeah, Ziggy adding a little bit of just a little doubt in the back of Packers fans' minds. Just for fun, right, Ziggy?
I mean, I'd love to see a kicking competition in Green Bay. Absolutely. I say get rid of McManus, bring in a brand new kicker, fire them when things go bad. Do it the Minnesota Vikings way. It's worked out great for us.
The one seed that you never need to plant in Packers hands heads when it comes to a doubt standpoint is special teams. We have years of special teams ineptitude to get us through having plenty of doubt when it comes to anything special teams related. So we're good there when it comes to completely doubting anything that happens with Rich Bisaccia's unit right now.
So we have a couple fill in the blanks, Andy, for you to play. Okay. And we have, four questions here. Let's start with this one. Jordan Love's top weapon right now is blank.
Tucker Kraft.
Not even close, right?
Not even close. Yep, Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft is a legit superpower with his run after the catch ability. He leads all tight ends by, like, he's got, I think, 40 more yards after the catch than Tyler Warren, who's number two on the list. And Tyler Warren's had a full additional game to Tucker Kraft at this point. So it's a legit superpower. And the more you can get the ball in his hands, the more good things happen. It seems like anytime he touches the ball, he's either getting he's just accelerating, getting yards after the catch, fighting through contact, or just lawn darting himself for extra yardage. He does whatever it takes, and it's freaking awesome.
I had no idea he was that fast. Like, I know that we've been watching him for a while now, but it's just like every time I see him run, like when he does get the ball in his hands, like, damn, he's moving.
That the couple plays in this game, I thought that was the fastest he's looked in his career. Like, there was a couple plays in this game where it was just like it even looked like a step quicker than what we've even been used to, and we knew he was fast. So yeah, it did seem very, very fast this week.
You know, I was just looking up the receiver stats right now because we brought up Matthew Golden right now, and I forgot he existed. It's got to be a little frustrating for Packers fans just with when you see, you know, Tet McMillan is 11th in the league in receiving yards. You see the great year that Emeka Buka is 7th, even though he slowed down a little bit. He's been awesome. You brought up Tyler Warren, right? Expanding to rookies. Warren's been great. Quinshon Judkins has been great. You know, Genty's had some highlight reel plays. And it still feels like you're waiting for the breakout from Golden. And a couple of times he's had a big play in a game and we'll tweet something out and all the Packers fans jump on it immediately. But then it's like, okay, then he kind of disappears for quarters at a time. And I'm just not sure at this point if we're going to see the breakout this year that we're expecting or that we were expecting coming into the year. And that's okay because, again, you have so many weapons you can utilize. But is there some level of disappointment in his performance on the season? Now, I'm not trying to get on Matthew Golden. I'm just saying, like,
no.
The situation he's in.
There's a few ways I want to answer this. If you would have asked me based on the amount of playing time he's got so far with Watson being out, Reed being out, and just, you know, Wicks is out this past game, based on some of that, would have I expected his numbers to be better? Yeah, probably, you know, probably 10, maybe 12 more catches on the season than maybe what he's had so far. I think there's absolutely a level of truth to that. I think when they've had to have some have-to-have-it moments, including fourth down against Dallas on the final drive, a huge third down play against Cincinnati to, you know, put that up to a two-score game, he's also come through in the clutch. There's a couple plays early in the year where he's gone on plays, just completely beat the defender, and Love just missed him on that particular play. So I think it's been a little bit happenstance. I love what I've seen from Matthew Golden so far. I think he's super talented. I do think this is just a victim of circumstance and really just the way that Green Bay plays, where it's not a player's thing. It's a plays thing. And whoever happens to be open on that, like Matthew Golden's got a bunch of those little like bubble screens to the outside. And it just so happens this week when it's Savion Williams in that spot and they throw it to Williams, he gets a touchdown on the play and gets a touchdown before Matthew Golden does. Like, I think a lot of it is happenstance, and I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I don't think we're going to see a breakout season for Matthew Golden. I'd be pretty surprised if we don't get a breakout game from Matthew Golden at some point. He's going to have, I'll be willing to bet you, like a 4 or 5 catch, 120 yard, 1 or 2 touchdown performance game at some point this year, whether that's in the season or in the playoffs. I really do expect it. And I just think, again, in this offense, it might one week be Tucker Kraft. The next, it might be Wicks. It might be Dobbs. It might be Golden. Could be just about anybody. And I do bet that Matthew Golden gets that game at some point in time.
Not looking forward to it. Not looking forward.
Probably against the Vikings. Probably against
What are we doing here? Of course it'll be against the Vikings.
They had 2 chances. So, yeah. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. So it's time to start getting ready for Week 9. Back in Green Bay as Carolina is set to come to town. This should be a huge opportunity for Green Bay, and I'm expecting an epic performance from both Jordan Love and the ever-steady Romeo Doubs. Elsewhere in Week 9, I'm going with big games from Amon-Ra St. Brown, Davante Adams, and Travis Etienne. Now, here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter which play you make, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Ziggy, I'll let you do the next fill in the blank with your defensive line question that you so desperately right. want to know.
It's a good question. So look, obviously Micah Parsons, we're going to set him aside. But besides Micah Parsons, the best player on this defensive line is
Devontae Wyatt. I think it's Devontae Wyatt. Maybe it's Rashawn Gary still, but I'll take Devontae Wyatt.
That's what we were arguing. Ziggy said that Wyatt, and I said, I'd probably go Gary.
It's close. I think Wyatt's a little bit more important. I think Gary's been the benefactor of a lot of the stuff that Micah Parsons has been doing so far this year. And if you just said, like, if you told me either Gary or Wyatt would be like healthy for, I would probably take Wyatt just because I think you can get by with LVN and Enigbare opposite of Micah Parsons. Whereas I think Wyatt's a huge important piece for the interior of the defensive line. He didn't have his greatest game against Pittsburgh this past week coming back from injury, but prior to the injury, he was playing phenomenal football. And Micah Parsons cannot say enough glowing things about Devontae Wyatt and his impact on the middle of the defense. So I would go Wyatt, but Gary certainly has at least an argument to be made too.
The Packers' next loss will be blank. And if you need, I could read you the schedule if you want to hear it.
I was just going to be like, yeah, I could go in a variety of different ways there. But
look, we're Vikings fans. We want to hear all about the next time the Packers are going to lose.
I'm going to say in Detroit on Thanksgiving will be their next loss. I think they beat Carolina. I think they'll get the win against Philly and Green Bay. I think they'll they'll beat New York in New York, but I bet it's going to be a very frustrating, annoying, like 1 point win. And then
the next week is us,
Minnesota.
Right?
Oh, okay. So they beat Minnesota and Green Bay. And then I think they lose to Detroit. I think they'll beat Chicago at home. And then I think you have a 3-game stretch where at Denver, at Chicago, Baltimore at home, where you maybe go like 1-2 in that stretch, and then you finish off with a win against Minnesota. Minnesota has nothing to play for in that game in all likelihood.
No, I did notice you said 3-game stretch with one game remaining at the Vikings. So I was hoping you would sneak in like, oh, you got 4 games there and in Minnesota, you never know. But yeah, that would put you guys, let's say you do win the next 4 games, then you beat the Bears too. That puts you guys at 10-2-1 if you lose to the Lions on Thanksgiving, going into that 3-game stretch with Denver, Chicago, and Baltimore. And those will kind of feel a little bit like, maybe not prove it games, but those will be playoff-esque football environments in Denver and Chicago. Yep. And then I'm assuming, you know, you guys get Lamar, that'll probably be flexed into a night spot, assuming Baltimore's assuming
making the Ravens are still in the playoff hunt at that point, and you're expecting that to be like a must win for the Ravens if they want to get in the playoffs. Like, that could be a really intense, fun game. And especially if, like, depending on where Green Bay's at, like, I doubt that they're just going to have like the North. Like, I would expect Green Bay and Detroit are going to continue to fight at the top of the NFC North and maybe even the NFC for the rest of the season. But for some reason, if Green Bay does have like something wrapped up and it feels like Green Bay, Minnesota is a glorified exhibition game, like that Baltimore game could be like their last big, you know, game of like warm up before playoff time.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the case and you guys are the one seed, that'll be interesting how you handle it too. I know we're talking way into the future and assuming a lot of wins here, but then let's say you got the bye. If you're the one seed, that's like 3 weeks off between football games. Get, you know, I wonder how LaFleur, maybe you play a half or something against the Vikings. Ziggy, you were with him, right? You said, I think when we were discussing this question, you said at the Lions, you expected to be the next loss as well.
That's what I think. This Eagles team is good. Drawing this Eagles team out of a bye with a newly revamped offense, I think is certainly not what Packers fans were hoping for. But at home, Green Bay's finally starting clicking. I think the Panthers game will be a good way to try and continue the momentum leaving this Pittsburgh game. I mean, we would have said the same thing a few weeks ago about the Browns. I'm pretty sure we did on this show.
That's what's funny, right?
I'm not worried about that game.
That's what's funny to me is we're doing the same exact thing that all the Packers fans have been so upset about, being like, yeah, all right, like, we really don't even need to look at the Panther game. Like, this should be a blowout. And I expect it to be a blowout, but there is some degree of importance of the Packers coming out and, you know, really looking good in this game. If they come out and are sluggish, I think you just want to move past whatever that, you know, like it's almost like you had a cold for a few weeks, right? That's what you're kind of hoping it was. And yeah, you could pick it up.
Listen, in any given game, a win is a win, right? Like, yeah. I'm not too upset about winning by 9 against Cincinnati, winning by 4 against Arizona. It doesn't bother me too much. At some point, the best teams in the league, the ones that win Super Bowls, really beat some teams on their schedule. Like, they have some like 25, 30 point wins that it's like, it's really difficult to be just like, yep, that's the best team when like every game is like competitive still in the fourth quarter.
You
got to show at some point, like some level of dominance. And this is like, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this would be a great week to go do it against Carolina.
Yeah. And the second half against Pittsburgh, I would count that. Like, I would count that as what you're explaining. The last one we have here for the Packers here. The Packers' biggest threat in the NFC is blank.
Detroit. Definitely Detroit. Yeah. We talked about it. I like the Rams a lot. I think they're a really good football team. I probably like Tampa more than most. I probably like Seattle more than most. And I still think Philly's going to be super competitive when all is said and done. It's a really tough NFC right now. And I'm not like, honestly, any of those teams that Green Bay would face in the playoffs, I would not be like, oh, they get X, like they get the Rams. Oh, the crowd. Like, I don't want to necessarily face the Rams or any of those teams. So I think it's going to be a very difficult stretch in the NFC. The best thing you can do, I think, right now is get that bye and have to have those other teams fight it out in the first week. And you just get to rest. And then hopefully the two teams ahead of you knock the crap out of each other so that that team comes in a little bit beat up or whatever. But it's going to be a really tough NFC. I would say Detroit, but the Rams are right there with them too.
Yeah, I think I would agree with those top two teams. I'm looking right now, if the season ended today, the tops is of, yeah, if you wound up being the 5 seed, right, you'd be going to Seattle. Seattle or the Rams in the first round, which
is where you don't want to go. Yeah.
I mean, that's like us last year, right? You know, we lose out on the 1 seed, we go, and I know we were in Arizona because of the fires. But we're playing the Rams in the first round of the playoffs, not in Minnesota. And you're like, do you really want to draw Stafford in round one? That's brutal. So even if the Packers end up this season with, you know, 12 or 13 wins, if the Lions
make it 14,
make it 14. Yeah. Why not 14?
It's a couple just things really quick before we move on from Packers. Yeah. Obviously, if you guys have other things, I'm happy to talk about it too. But number one, you just going back to what you said about like the Carolina game, it would not stun me at all if they beat the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving and like lost to New York along the way. Like, that would be the most Packers thing. Like, what we've seen so far, they beat Detroit, they beat Washington, they beat Pittsburgh, they lose to Cleveland in Cleveland. Like, if they lost to New York in New York and somehow beat Detroit, like, I wouldn't even be stunned by it. The other thing I just wanted to ask, like, from your perspective as Vikings fans and as like not outsiders directly, because you guys cover the Packers a lot as well, but what is your view of where this Packers team is at right now?
I'm completely circling the Monday night game against Philly. I think that'll be an awesome game to one, but two, that's like at home, right? Monday night football, the defending NFC champions. That's one where if you guys win that one, I'm looking at this stretch, and I you know, I've talked with Ziggy a handful of times about this right now. The next 4 weeks has 4-0 written all over it if things break right. And I'm looking at the Panthers, Giants, and Vikings as three reeling teams. Like, Carolina's not good. I know they've had a couple like stunners. You could say like 30-0 against Atlanta shocked everyone.
Rico Dowdle's not putting up 250 on the Packers. Like,
the Panthers are not a good team. The Giants are a little frisky, but Scadaboo's out now and Neighbors is gone, and the Vikings are just a complete disaster. Like, I'd love to say I'd expect us to go in and win, but that would just be foolish. So I'm looking at the next four weeks, really, that you have as three absolute wins. Like, losing any of those games would be really bad. And then, so I'm circling Philadelphia on Monday night as, all right, you get a good team in your building. Is it going to look like Washington, Detroit? Or is it going to look like the couple weeks that followed it there? Like, you can't come out sluggish. Even, you know, even the Pittsburgh first half, everyone was saying how flat the Packers looked. It's like, can't happen on Monday night in one of your biggest games of the year that could determine the one seed. Like, that's one of the games that could determine the one seed. So I'm circling all that. And then after if you beat us, then I think, you know, we can look at the line, that second half of the season left, that's left with Lions, Bears, Denver, Bears, and we could reevaluate then.
I'll say for me, I said it in our reaction, I think that fourth quarter of the Packers-Steelers game, the Packers played the best quarter of football I've seen out of any team this season, given the circumstances, given the quality of play. The reason that game made me more confident the Packers are good is up until this point, we had not seen the Packers look good on the road. You lose to Cleveland on the road, you have that disastrous Cowboys tie on the road, you have that game against the Cardinals on the road. To be able to go, and of course, winning big games at home, it's not like that doesn't matter. But whether they get the one seed or not, you've got to be able to beat Detroit on the road if you want to get the one seed. I think that's just going to be how it is for Green Bay. So seeing them go into a tough environment, the Steelers fans were fully into it going into that third quarter, and just dominate from there, definitely made me think more about this Packers team. But good news for them, I guess, we talked about in the season preview, besides going to Detroit and the Steelers game, every tough game you have is at home this year.
Yep.
Yeah,
Detroit. And I guess going to Denver in December.
Denver's not going to be easy for sure. That's going to be a tough one too.
Well, I'm looking at Detroit right now. They go to LA. They go to Philly. They go to Washington, which will be tough with Daniels back. So yeah, a lot of those games. I mean, you guys don't even have the Rams, right?
Yeah. Lions went to Kansas City.
Yeah, and then they lost that one. One of the few Lions losses of the past few years.
And went to Green Bay and lost that one. Yeah. So
there was one actual other note, Andy, that I wanted to bring up because I said on the reaction show. You guys, before at halftime of the Steeler game, in your last 18 drives on defense, going back to the start of the second half against Cincinnati, you guys had allowed a score, a touchdown or a field goal on 12 out of 18 possessions. You could actually bump it up maybe to 13 out of 18 because there was a missed field goal in there too. So it's like five stops, really five true stops in 18 possessions. And I was sitting there watching the game going like, does this defense just like stink? You know, like, how big of a problem is this actually going to be? I thought the best takeaway for you guys actually wasn't how great Love was or Tucker Kraft turning into Rob Gronkowski, but it was the second half being three and out, field goal, three and out, fumble before the late touchdown. I thought that was the most encouraging thing for you to take away was the defense actually finally finding its rhythm again.
Well, I think one of the things I said in the halftime show is like, does this defense know you can force three and outs? Because it was like, even when they like got stops, it was like eight play drives that would end in like a missed field goal or something like that. Is like, do you know that you can get three? And then of course, second half, like you said, they have a 3-play 2-yard drive, a 3-play -3-yard drive, a 3-play -9-yard drive, a 2-play fumble drive. Like they immediately stepped it up and domination. Just said, yep, Yeah, for sure. So I'm right there with you. I think it was a big time performance in the second half, and just really appreciated that they stepped up and were able to get some quick stops and get Green Bay the ball back, especially with the heater that Jordan Love was on.
Not only did I have to go through that on Sunday night, Andy, but I was producing a show for my company, and I couldn't do our preview show. So Ziggy wound up taking it solo. And I tune in at the very beginning, and you know, it's just Ziggy doing his thing, and we have our listeners tuning in, and they're having a great time talking about Steelers-Packers, a little bit of the games beforehand. I log off, work for about an hour, and I come back, or maybe 40 minutes, I walk upstairs in my house, and I see Ziggy's on the TV, and he's in this Packer jersey. And I walked in, I was like, what the hell happened here? And you know, finally, I actually logged on to YouTube, and I left a comment like, what the hell's going on? And everyone in the comment section,
I wanted the Packers to win one game this season, and it was this one. I would have been happy if they went 1-16 for the rest of them, but at least they won this one.
And people think it's a bit, Andy, like, you know, because I wrote a YouTube comment, and my name popped up, and it's like, what the hell's happening here? And everyone in the chat's like, oh, Paul's not happy about this. It's not a bit. I actually walked in and was like, Ziggy, what is going on here?
That's
so
amazing.
Not only was it a Packer loss, but I had to see Ziggy in a Packers jersey pregame, and then we hit 25,000 subscribers during our postgame, and Ziggy put on the Packer jersey again. It's like, well, I guess it's just that kind
like
of
a
night.
Good place to wrap the show. I think we've talked about all the games and teams we need to talk about in the NFC North, right?
That feels good.
Hey, we can celebrate the Bears looking inept against the Ravens. That's probably the best thing that happened to the Vikings this week.
I actually thought that Bears loss was just truly horrific. If you're a Bears fan, it was like that was your moment to really establish, maybe not even establish yourself, just like, you know, get a huge win and continue. They have a pretty weak schedule coming up, and we were talking about 7-2 being in play. To lose to Tyler Huntley in Baltimore was like, it almost makes it feel like a complete setback from where you were 3 days ago.
I was talking to my buddy who's a Bears fan, and I don't know if you guys remember when, I won't spoil anything, even though I think we've passed the deadline, but when Game of Thrones was in its last season, you could bet on who would ultimately end up on the throne. And the person who was ultimately on it was like the heavy favorites in Vegas and it made no sense. You're like, what? That's not possibly going to be the case. But the Vegas had him as favorites by so much. You're just like, it was basically a spoiler. You knew Vegas had to know, or there'd be no reason that person would be so high on the betting odds. And then of course you get to the final episode and that is who ends up on the throne. And you're like, well, clearly they just knew. It's to the point now. And I know Vegas isn't perfect when it comes to predictions, but you go into this game and you're like, it's Caleb Williams and this Bears team that's won 4 in a row against the Ravens who have looked completely inept. And Tyler Huntley is starting at quarterback. Clearly the Bears are going to get, and then you go out and look at who's favored in the game. And it's the Ravens by like 4 points. You're like, well, I guess the Ravens are just probably going to win this one. And sure enough, the Ravens go out and beat the Bears. And it's not even like particularly as competitive as you would have expected it to be. It's just like, how do they know? How do they always know this stuff? Cause you look at it on paper and you're just like, clearly the Bears are going to continue. They're going to get a big win against the Ravens team that has like their third string quarterback. And it's just like, nope, that the Ravens still win.
Yeah. Well, first off, it's actually funny you mentioned Game of Thrones. Cause I just finished it. Well, not just, but what, like Ziggy, like 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And I was so pissed off that we wound up running the final like 30 minutes of our show talking about Game of Thrones. That and How I Met Your Mother to me, the two worst.
I didn't see that one. I haven't seen any episodes of that, thankfully, so I can't be too upset about it. But the last season of Game of Thrones, an all-time devastating season of any TV show ever.
There's actually one of the main characters in How I Met Your Mother is a big Vikings fan. There's actually one full episode dedicated to the 99 NFC Championship game. And they go to a Vikings bar, and whenever someone says it, they're like, 99 NFC Championship game? And someone goes, yeah. And they all go, damn, and slam the bar top. Like, that's how bad of a game it was. There's a whole sitcom episode dedicated to one football game.
I can think of a game that was about as bad for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, Ziggy. All right, I was trying to stall long enough. Go ahead,
look,
Ziggy.
I said during our preview that I am so tired of the Minnesota Vikings being a get-right team. But I just felt like this was going to be a get right game for the Chargers. Even I did not expect what we saw from the Minnesota Vikings. Every single thing that could have gone right for the Chargers did. Justin Herbert obliterates us. Kamani Vidal carves us up on the ground. Our defense looks totally flat. our offense. Apparently, Kirk Cousins has been playing for like a month with a torn shoulder.
And we let him try Carson and tough Wentz. It through.
Yeah. And it's like, that apparently was their plan at quarterback. I have to imagine being Carson Wentz, having Kevin O'Connell say, go out and get their champ with your broken, with your torn shoulder, while J.J. McCarthy is taking yet another week to recover from the ankle. It's like, he's a tough guy. He did a great job, but come on. Aaron Jones has done nothing for us. Besides Justin Jefferson, it doesn't feel like we have any weapons. This guy is falling in Minnesota, and now in our get-right spot, where we're trying to recover things and get ready for maybe a playoff push, we have to go to Detroit. The season's over. Yeah. If we were playing like the Raiders, I'd say maybe we can get right here and fix things. The Viking season is over.
We'll be right back.
I appreciate your optimism there, but get right in Detroit with McCarthy coming back.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
That's a great attempt at optimism. Yeah, we were discussing some types of Vikings questions we could pose today, and as far as like the Detroit game, I don't have much other. It's more of that looking ahead, like what J.J. McCarthy doing changes for the trajectory of the year, or him coming back, how that changes our hopes for this season. And as far as this year goes, like, I've totally given up. I have no real semblance of hope left. Now, there's one spot Ziggy and I differ, Andy. If McCarthy comes out and we beat Detroit somehow, which I am essentially ruling out, but if that happens, okay, I'll come back on next week and I'll be trying to figure out paths to the playoff. Ziggy, you said, though, that even if we win, you're like done with the season.
I do not think, as I've said, maybe we can get some fluky win in Detroit, but the Vikings basically from here have to go 7-2 just to make the playoffs. The NFC is competitive. There's going to be a lot of teams of a lot of wins. Do I think that in his first season starting, based on what we've seen, even if we get four excellent J.J. McCarthy quarters, we're going 6-1 from there, 6-2 from there for the rest of the season? I just don't see it. So if I'm Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, I'm on the phones, I'm seeing what teams are willing to trade for some of our players. I have a very hard time thinking that no matter what we see this weekend, it's time for Minnesota to go in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a couple things I want to get to. So first of all, my question I will pose to you, what is the greater number the remainder of this season, Packers losses or Vikings wins?
Come on. It's funny because Ziggy was posing the same question of Vikings or Bears wins. And it's like, all right, Ziggy, it's Bears. Packers losses or Vikings wins. I think that you guys will lose maybe like three more games this year, I'd guess. And I think we're going to win like four more. So I'll go Vikings win one more than the Packers lose.
Okay. The Minnesota Vikings will be favored at most for two games rest of season. Packers losses.
This is my next one. So this isn't favored Vegas-wise, but we've got the ESPN analytics matchup predictor of like the percentage to win each game. How many games do you think? Yeah, obviously, we just heard from one of you. Ziggy just said two games. Paul, how many games do you think you guys, per the ESPN matchup predictor, that you guys are favored in?
I pulled up
one question
right
about
here.
The matchup predictor. Is it factoring in that Lamar will probably be back for the Ravens November 9th?
Yeah,
could be something wonky there. Otherwise, I'm sticking with two.
So yeah. I'll go Lions loss, Ravens no. Host the Bears maybe. At the Packers no. At the Seahawks no. Host the Commanders maybe. At the Cowboys no. At the Giants maybe. Host the Lions no. Host the Packers no. I'll go two.
So Vikings, Lions, 75%, 75.4%. Ravens, 61%. This is all for the team I'm mentioning.
Yep.
The Bears, 48.5%. The Vikings favored against the Bears in Minnesota, 51.1%.
We'll take it.
For Minnesota in that game. 74.2% for Green Bay, 64.1% for Seattle, 57.2% for Washington, 65% for Dallas, 63.2 for New York.
No.
Even New York is a 63.2% favorite. 65.6 for Detroit. 64.1 for Green Bay.
Okay.
Per the ESPN matchup predictor, Minnesota is favored or at least expected to win one of their remaining games against Chicago at home in Minnesota.
So we're going to be 4-13. According to ESPN,
it probably won't be that maybe quite that bad, but it like I said last week, I thought we were on the road to seeing Minnesota get maybe have things go a lot worse before they get a lot better.
Oh geez, yeah, we've been talking about fire sale and some names.
But one
on
of the questions is who do you even fire sale?
Yeah, some names would be Hockenson was brought up. I forgot that Hockenson's like just turned 28 years old. Aaron Jones, Javon Hargrave is. In the past three games, he's only played 38% of defensive snaps. Just like, you know, you get your big ticket defensive tackle and you can't play run defense at all. And it's great that Jalen Redmond stepped up. And Jalen Redmond's
been really
awesome.
Good.
Oh, he's been great.
That's a positive. Redmond's been really, really good.
But Hargrave is there. And you know, Addison is a question mark. Are they going to try and move? If they lose to Detroit and go to 3-5, Jordan Addison... How much is he going to command next year? T. Higgins is getting 28.75. Waddle's 28.25. Jameson Williams, 26.67. Like, that's the going rate for number two receivers. Do you want to pay Jordan Addison, you know, let's just say $28, $29 million a year? I think I would, but I wouldn't comfortably do it. You know what I mean? It's a lot of tough
decisions.
They're in a really, really bad spot across the board, and it doesn't help either. It doesn't help either the injury luck the Vikings have had this year. It's, you know, Carson Wentz is playing with backup left tackle, backup right tackle, backup center against the Rams. The Andrew Van Ginkle injury has obviously been massive because Dallas Turner has not stepped up the way we were hoping for. Harrison Smith missed a lot of the beginning of the season. He's finally playing again, but he clearly doesn't look like himself anymore. And maybe that's just because he's old. But, I mean, yeah, we've had it's been just a nightmare year across the board. Bad injury luck, bad decision-making, and obviously JJ has been out. So,
and this is what makes a Minnesota Vikings nightmare year. It's not the years where we go in knowing it's going to be terrible. We're not the Browns. We're not historically the Detroit Lions. The nightmare year is where you go in thinking, we just need one thing to go right and everything will be great. And not only does that one thing not go right, but things you could not have anticipated across the board just spiral. And then suddenly you're 3-4 and we're favored to win one game for the rest of the season.
But it's also, they're just playing bad too, right? Like I can make a bunch of the injury excuses and we can be upset about the quarterback situation, but the defense got scorched. I mean, you know, LA was going up and down the field the entire night. They ran for how many yards did they wind up running for in that game? They had 207 rushing yards.
Over 200.
Yeah, 207 on the ground. They're giving up over 150 yards a game in their losses. 10.3 missed tackles in their losses this year per game. Last year, they were averaging 4.6 per matchup.
Hey, we held Saquon to under 50 and just let Jalen Hurts throw for 330 and three touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I love it. Andy can kind of just sit back and listen to us rant. Like,
I'm enjoying it.
You pick you pick a unit. You can even pick a phase of each or a layer of each unit. And it's like, it's just been bad across the board for the Vikings, other than Justin Jefferson, who. How many times are the Vikings going to have not just generation, like not just great players, but truly all-time generational players, Moss, Peterson, Jefferson? You know, most teams have a couple guys, every few years who's just really good, just a really good player. But we seem to get the guys who are literally on like the Mount Rushmore of their positions, and you just waste their career. Like each of them seemingly have one great opportunity. Moss in 98. Peterson 09, Jefferson, hopefully it wasn't last year, but it could be. And like, there is something soul crushing about that, where you just have these
Detroit's
guys.
In a similar, yeah. Barry Sanders, Kelvin Johnson, two of the greatest of all times and couldn't do anything with it too. It's the NFC North has been weird in that regard, where like, obviously the Packers have been, you know, the two Super Bowls, but like and the Bears have been like up and down or whatever. They obviously haven't won the Super Bowl since 85, but you've got those like legendary players in Kelvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, Randy Moss, Justin Jefferson, Adrian Peterson. It just hasn't ever amounted to anything, which is really crazy.
Well, and the difference is, right, if we look at the North, the Bears don't really have any of those guys, but
Urlacher would be the closest.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking like offensively.
Yeah,
but you guys have the quarterbacks. That's like the difference. And if you go, like, if you go 2000 on the all, if you're doing all division teams, the NFC North is like, I mean,
it's pretty stacked.
Rodgers, yeah. Moss, Calvin, Peterson. It's, I mean, you could pick Favre if you want. Like, there, it's just a loaded division. It's just a shame that none of us except you guys can get the quarterback. But yeah, so my whole thing with us moving forward is, and I'm actually excited. Like, I really am excited for this weekend, even though I know how it's going to go. But I want to see how JJ plays. And the rest of this year is just hoping that he can be decent.
there is power in the lottery ticket. And right now, JJ McCarthy, yes. Even though the first two games didn't go as, I mean, even though that fourth quarter in the first game was epic, outside of that has not gone according to plan, there's still power in the lottery ticket of like, if this one thing goes right, almost everything else can go to crap. And it would still be worth, like, the season ends up being worthwhile. If that one lottery ticket hits, everything else goes to crap and it still is probably a success. It's like the same thing that the Bears fans are saying. Like, the Bears fans knew they weren't going to be like a big, maybe they made a playoffs or whatever, but they weren't going to be a big time contender this year. It all came down to Caleb. If Caleb ends up being good, that if that lottery ticket hits, everything else doesn't matter. And right now, like in the NFC North, The questions on, I think, JJ are even harsher, but certainly with Caleb as well, those two are still just lottery tickets at this point. And I think for both the Bears and Vikings fans, they're just praying that those hit, because that's the biggest thing that can happen to either franchise for the remainder of this season.
Yeah. I'll close it with this for the Vikings stuff is, if they do beat Detroit, again, massive if, but they're 4-4, one game out in the loss column of the wild card. A lot of the, you know, dreaming here, but if that happens and JJ plays well, like, we will come on this show and I'll be like, okay, you know, it's a hard schedule, but let's try and find some wins. And it just changes everything. I'm expecting it to be like a double digit blowout, and we come on with all our views from the episode, right? Everyone's so happy we lost. All right, let's wrap it up here with the Week 9 predictions. We got 3 NFC North games. All 4 teams are playing, but the reason it's 3 is the Vikings and Lions, 1 p.m. in Detroit. Do you guys have the spread by any chance?
It's 8.5.
Lions 8.5 right now as of Wednesday. So, yeah, 8.5 points. Detroit's favored. Who you got, Ziggy?
I don't understand the spread at all. This is going to be one of those Lions games where they win by well over double digits and just keep beating up on us because they can. Give me Detroit, probably -15.5.
Good God.
I'll take Detroit, and I'll take the spread as well. I think Detroit wins by more than 8.5.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be pretty offensively for us, and defensively, it's also been a nightmare. So where do you find the optimism? The Panthers go to Green Bay at 1 o'clock. The spread right now on that one is Green Bay by 12.5.
I'll go ahead, Ziggy.
I was going to say, I don't know what quarterback's going to be playing, but that didn't move the line much last week either. Packers easily here.
I'll take Packers barely. I'll say they win by 13, just barely cover the spread.
Yeah, I'll take Packers in the spread as well. I'm not sure Green Bay is going to dominate the way that they did in the second half against Pittsburgh, but I just think Carolina's bad and Green Bay will open it up in the second half.
26-13, something like that feels about right in this game. Yeah. Maybe Green Bay has to settle for a few too many field goals or whatever, but yeah, something like 26-13 feels about right.
Yeah. If you guys do dominate the way you did in the second half, like that'll be a great momentum into Philly. And last one, Bears at Bengals. That's at 1 o'clock as well. Right now, Chicago is a 2.5-point favorite.
I'm not taking Chicago as a road favorite this season, even against the Bengals, even the Bengals coming off an inexplicable loss to the Jets that's only being overlooked because the Bengals are bad. I'm still taking the Bengals to win this one. Joe Flacco beats the Bears, continues his NFC North tour.
I'm going to do the same. I'm going to take the Bengals. I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to take the Bengals.
I'm going to take the Bears. I think they'll get right. Cincinnati lost to the Jets. That has to mean something to someone. So I'll take the Bears. We'll wrap it up with that. Another great week of the show. Andy, Ziggy, let's keep it rolling, and hopefully, you know, hopefully we're both coming out here with wins. We're going to root for everyone. So
wait, listen, Packers fans, again, we don't root for Minnesota. We root against Detroit, but we would prefer that you guys win this game. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think this week you guys are definitely on our side. Maybe you could get in on this skull right here, Andy.
Can't do that, but I will say I will be very pleased if we're talking about two victories for Green Bay and Minnesota next week.
All right. Well, you go ahead, Andy. Wrap it up. People love your outros.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but appreciate you guys a ton. We'll talk again next week, hopefully again with two victories for Minnesota and Green Bay. And until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.